Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Colossians chapter 2, we were talking about being separate from the world in our appearance, dress, and language. Let's continue with that subject today.
First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Now, I know that I'll get letters for this or telephone calls or whatever. Anytime somebody hears this verse on the radio, for some reason or another, they want to call in, they're upset, and I should never, ever mention it. As if the Bible did not record that verse, as if it's uninspired. And yet, my friend, that verse is in the Bible. This is not Andy Bloom giving you his opinion. This is Andy Bloom telling you and reading to you what the Bible says. And the Bible says that it is a shame for a man to have long hair. Now, some question, how long is long? Well, why leave doubt about it? On the other hand, you can go the other direction. We had around a few years ago people that were shaving their heads because they wanted to be associated with a group called the skinheads. Well, that's going in the wrong direction, too. So it could have been both ways, and you're associating yourself with the world when you do that. Now, the Bible is very clear, and so you should not have long hair. Not because you're better than others, but because the Scriptures tell you not to have long hair. And you're being obedient to the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becomes women professing godliness with good works. Now, here he's telling women, okay, you need to be modest in your dress. Not provocative. And then you're not trying to draw all the attention yourself. Now, it's not condemning taking care of yourself and making yourself look nice. But it is condemning the idea of being provocative in your dress and trying to be sexy in your dress and things of that nature. For example, short shorts, mini skirts, tight clothing. Do those things show sobriety? Do they show modesty? Do they show a profession of godliness as it is commanded here? Of course not. Another New Testament passage, 1 Timothy 5:22, keep thyself pure. And that's why you should watch not only what you get on television, what you watch by way of video, getting on the internet and things of that nature. So I'm trying to point all these things. These are New Testament passages, all of these that I've pointed out. They're not my teaching. They're not my surmisings. They're just straight from the Word of God. Now, with those commandments in mind, think on this verse in John 14 and verse 15. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, a lot of people can say, I love Jesus. But the way Jesus looks at it, really, saying I love you 1,000 times is not enough if you're not keeping my commandments. As a pastor of over 25 years now, I've had couples that I have counseled. And I've heard those that have said, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. But then they're running around with other men or other women, whatever the case may be. Well, it's kind of hard to say that they love the person, even though they're saying they love the person, and they're doing these other things. Well, Jesus said, if you love me, if what you have for him is a true love, then you keep his commandments. And we've just read you a bunch of commandments from the New Testament. Not under the Old Testament law. These were New Testament commandments that I've read to you. No, we aren't to be legalists and rules-oriented people. However, we are to be a holy and separate people. Now, if you find yourself fuming at this point, now let me ask you a question. Have I shared my word or God's word, the Bible, with you? Well, of course, the Bible. So if you're fuming, who then is your argument with? Is it not with God? Because I didn't write the Bible. So with all that in mind, let us look to the teaching here of our text in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 20 through 23. Verse 20 says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead." Death does not mean cessation. It means separation. The soul is separated from the body. Thus, in salvation, we die with Christ at the cross and are thus separated from all such things that are mentioned in verses 20 through 23 of Colossians 2. Now, since you died when Christ died, do not return to pre-cross living. Now, please, as you listen to this broadcast, get this down if you get nothing else down. It is important to understand that the death of the believer with Christ is a death to his old relationships, to sin, to the law, to guilt. Some people serve God out of guilt, and love should be our motive. But especially it's also a death to the world, to our lust or desires. Having died to legalism, how absurd for ordinances to be imposed upon us. Now notice he says there in verse 20 of our text in Colossians chapter 2, we are, he says, "Wherefore if ye be dead," and then he adds, "from the rudiments of the world." Now the rudiments of the world refers to the elementary teachings and practices. That is, the elementary teachings and practices of the world. Be dead to those things. Why, as living in the world, then are you subject to ordinances? You see, there are many Jews that were saved and many Gentiles that were saved, but taught in the Jewish religion. And they're taught, touch not, taste not, handle not. Now, those terms that had to do with touching and handling or tasting was the idea of touching, handling, or tasting in such a way to affect ourselves or to affect the thing that we touched or tasted. Other words, not just a mere touch of something or a mere taste of something. It was the altering effect of those things. In the Jewish religion, many things from the Jewish law were done away in Christ. For example, you read Acts chapters 10 and 11, and it talks about unclean meats. And Peter saying, "Not so, Lord. I've not eaten any of those kind of meats." And the Lord says, "What God has cleansed, call it not common nor unclean." And so some of that was done away. Sacrifices, different materials of cloth. A lot of people don't realize this, but you couldn't wear two different kinds of materials. And if you did, then you were wrong. And so it had to be the same kind of material. The Gnostics added to it. Notice verse 20, "after the commandments and doctrines of who? Of God? No, men." It was tradition, not scripture. Perfection of the Christian character through rules is a false doctrine of men. Now, my friend, I can't say it any more plain than that. Perfection of Christian character through rules is a false doctrine of man. This might give a man a reputation for wisdom, but such practices do not necessarily honor God, because they will all perish. That is, they'll corrupt with the using. They, that is, the things that we abstain from, may indeed show wisdom in strengthening the will or our endurance, but they are not of value in delivering or saving the flesh. For example, Seventh-day Adventists are very strong on the Old Testament diet. And really, there's something good about that. That denomination has the longest lifespan of all the religious organizations here in America. The Seventh-day Adventist lives the longest. But what they are doing for the body does not necessarily change the soul, does not do much for the spirit. For example, you can maintain a good diet and still be a man or a woman with a quick fuse, anger, bitterness, self-pity, hate, maybe just out-and-out jealousy, even though you have a good diet. You see, you cannot operate a spirit with laws for the body. You cannot operate a body with laws, for that matter. Don't say to the stomach, you just don't say to it, look, start digesting or stop hurting. Instead, the body operates through nourishment. However, sleep, baths, washing, clean clothes, they protect the body from corruptions of disease. So it's wise to observe these things. Sometimes we think the Christian life personally and the church collectively can be made spiritual by carnal regulations. Well, it is wise to have these things. Don't get me wrong. I believe in and I have standards and rules of conduct. The Bible has them for New Testament Christians. And we as preachers need to preach it. In other words, you have preachers today that says, well, I have personal standards, but I don't want to enforce them on you, and I shouldn't teach them or preach them because what's true for me may not be true for you. Baloney. If you don't have your standards from the Word of God, then why do you have them? And if you do have your standards from the Word of God, then why not preach them? Now, the Bible says, love not the world. That's clear. But we do not for one moment believe that outward obedience to standards necessarily produces inward spirituality. Yet, it shows great wisdom to observe these things. A spiritual problem cannot be cured by a physical remedy. That's the bottom line. There has to be a heart belief. Yes, we should name sin. Yes, we should be separate. We should have standards. We should be holy. But understand, abstaining from all appearance of evil does not make me spiritual. The bottom line is this. Verse 10 of Colossians 2 says, ye are complete in Him. In 1 John 1, 6 and 7, we read this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He, that is, as Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, that is, with others that are walking in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, walking in sinful habits and ways and then saying you're right with God simply isn't scriptural. There is not a liberty to exercise the lust of the flesh.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible says.